Yeah. Not exactly a textbook landing, but... No offense, but were you at the controls during that touchdown?
Cylons work as a team. We are equals.
Yeah, well, that's a very nice policy, except when things start going wrong. So, what happened during the landing?
The situation did not compute.
So you didn't know what to do. What happened next? Someone whip out the manual?
Yes, the manual did not help.
What did you do when it came time for a little personal initiative?
We were taking a vote when the ground came up and hit us.
I'm shocked, shocked.
In a nationwide survey, doctors in all branches of medicine were asked, "What cigarette do you smoke, doctor?" The brand named most was Camel's. Tens of thousands of doctors, general practitioners, surgeons, specialists, doctors in every branch of medicine were included. And according to this nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Try Camels yourself, the cigarette so many doctors enjoy.
I'm shocked, shocked.
I have type 2 diabetes, but I manage it well. It's a little pill with a big story to tell. I take one daily, Jardiance.
Works 24/7 in your body to flush out some sugar.
Good morning, America. How are you? I'm Rabbi Dave.
Grand morning, America. I am Friar Rod.
I'll bleep you. Grand morning.
Hey, I'm halfway through a cup of coffee this morning before we started recording, so it's a grand morning for me.
Mine just came off the machine. Here I am. I had a crappy night, so.
It was
rough. Anyway, we're here this morning and glad you're with us as we roam through the skies of all the things that matter to us. And I start this morning with a conversation that I had on Friday. Do not send me the emails. You know, the emails I'm talking about. The emails that are going to tell me, Dave, Starbucks is evil. Starbucks doesn't love you. Starbucks is opposite. Don't send me those. Okay? I already know all that.
Starbucks is busting unions.
Starbucks supports Hamas.
I already know all this. Mm-hmm. My wife, whom I love dearly, the Ribitson, loves Starbucks. She's been going to Starbucks since it was invented. Okay? She's a native up here. For her, Starbucks isn't...
It's a local company to her.
It's not just a local company to her, but it's basically part of life. And she loves Starbucks. I personally think Starbucks is ostentatious and absurd.
Overpriced.
Badly overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
Was bitching the other day because... In recent days, I've become, I don't know if I'm addicted to it, but I have developed a taste for masala chai tea, Indian chai tea, which they have at Starbucks. But the short, the 8-ounce short, is $5.
No way.
Yeah. And so I was griping about that. Anyway.
We're in the wrong business, Dave.
I swear to God. Would you like a cup of coffee? 12 bucks.
Seriously.
Jeez. So we pull into the Starbucks the other day, and the unnecessarily gregarious person on the headset shouts at me, and I'm not going to shout because my head hurts. Good morning. Welcome to Starbucks, the home of the sirens. What can I get started for you today?
The home of the sirens.
And
is that
I said,
WNBA team?
Our local WNBA team up here, if you didn't know we have one, is the Storm, the Seattle Storm.
Okay.
And so I said, somewhat irritatedly, let's put a pin in that because I'm going to need an explanation. But then I ordered my wife's drink, which is, of course, the Venti Iced Sugar-Free Vanilla Latte with Light Ice, which, let me go on record here, there isn't a Starbucks on this planet that understands what light ice is.
No.
And so you have to repeat that for them, and you have to say extremely light ice. Take that scoop of ice that you normally put in the drink and cut that by two-thirds.
Well, that's just like fast food places don't understand what iced tea is, because by the time I usually get my tea from the fast food places, the ice is mostly melted.
Right, right. McDonald's is notorious for that.
Oh, yeah.
They supposedly have their machine set for Coca-Cola. They have some weird secret formula, and it doesn't work for anything else. Anyway, so before I could get all of that out of my mouth, my wife starts interjecting. Now, remember, we're talking to this guy on the intercom.
Mm-hmm. And she it starts. Was a guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to assume their gender, but.
I think his name is Ethan. But at any rate, my wife knows all these people.
Okay.
My wife knows all these baristas. She knows their does entire life them? Stories. What?
Does she tip them?
No, she does not.
No. Okay.
Some of them, she's even delivered their babies. She knows all these people, and she knows when they're new, because she will tell them how to make her drink and how much it should cost. And when they get it wrong, believe me, when they hand her her drink, when they hand me her drink through the window and I hand it to her, I have to sit there until she tastes it. Because I cannot tell you how many times we've had to go back.
She doesn't just like Starbucks. No. She's a Starbucks snob.
Right. Who doesn't tip.
Who doesn't tip.
And she also hates that thing, the pay it forward thing, which seems to have gone the way of the dinosaur because people have finally figured out what a job that is. But anyway, so welcome to Starbucks, home of the sirens, which confused the hell out of me. So before we can even pull forward, my wife is already telling me on the other side why it's the home of the sirens. Meanwhile, the guy is still telling me how much it's going to cost. So I got two people talking to me at the same time.
The older you get, that doesn't work. And it makes it's very irritating.
Yes. Makes me very grumpy, as if I needed any help. So as we're
complaints with Dad 101,
as we're pulling forward, she's explaining to me this. That the Starbucks logo, the Starbucks whatever
is a siren.
Is a siren. And I said, and I quote, that makes no sense at all. If their logo is a siren, which I assume I knew, why do they call it Starbucks?
Yeah.
Which launched a completely different discussion in the line at Starbucks. Why do they call it Starbucks?
Because they were a Battlestar Galactica fan? I don't know.
Well, see, that would make sense. If someone in the deep recesses of the company had said, hey, we really like this science fiction show. Yeah. And Dirk Benedict is an awesome actor. And the show is great. It was so great that they remade it, which I've never seen.
It's good.
People tell me that, but is it?
It is.
Is it as good as the original? See, this is the Wrath of the Titan, or the Clash of the Titans debate. Okay. Clash of the Titans, the original 1981, is campy and awesome.
Yeah.
And the remake isn't campy.
So the remake of Battlestar Galactica is much more dramatic. And so the storylines are good. It gets towards the end, it gets a little over the top.
Right.
But getting you there was great.
It doesn't have John Calicos's Baltar. What's the point?
No.
Does it have the Imperious leader?
I got to remember back to it because so much happens. They're much more insidious. The Cylons are much more insidious in this. It's not just the back and forth.
Right. By your command.
Yep.
So
it's much more insidious. So it's much more of a suspense in some ways.
Okay. So anyway, if that had been the case, I would have been, that makes sense. But it still doesn't explain why your name is Starbucks and you have a Greek mythological character from the Odyssey, the Sirens, as your logo.
Evil, by the way.
The Cylons are or the Sirens are?
Well, I kind
they're
of
just
both.
They're just doing what Sirens do. Luring sailors to their death
with
their beautiful voices and tits.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this conversation now continues as we are pulling forward. This doesn't make any sense to me why you would name it Starbucks.
And then have a siren logo.
And then have a siren as your logo. And I realize this to you sounds like, Dave, who cares? But you don't understand how this got into my head, how this got into my brain. And my wife, ever helpful, the Ribbitson, is explaining to me, the rabbi, why they're named Starbucks. And I kept saying, well, Starbuck was the first mate of the Pequod in the book Moby Dick.
Yeah.
It's the only other Starbuck I know. I know two Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Starbuck from Moby Dick, Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica. That's it. That's
and
all I know.
Not to confuse with Buck Rogers, who was a totally different star traveler.
And completely different in the 25th century, but that was a good show too. Anyway, so as we continue to edge forward, now the phones are out and research is being done. Because I have to know this and she has to tell me this. We still haven't gotten to the drink yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as we're pulling forward, she realizes that they have a website that explains all this.
Starbucks does?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason they named it Starbucks is because on the site of Mount Rainier, once upon a million years ago, 200 years ago, there was a mining camp called Star Bores. And they were going to name it Star Bores. But that didn't sound quite right. Hmm. They liked the star part.
If they would have called it Starbirds, right? Starbird, right?
Okay, but now
having a siren would have made more sense.
Could have made more sense.
Yeah, over there on starboard side, there's a siren.
But Starbores didn't make any sense, and so they played with it a little bit. I'm sure they hired some marketing people. Because they borrowed $5,000 from the bank to launch this company. So maybe not. Who knows?
What a great investment.
Maybe they had a beer drinking on a Friday night or coffee drinking on a Friday night and batted around some ideas. And someone hit on the idea of Starbucks. Ooh, that sounds great.
It's a cool name.
And while the siren, quote, speaks to the dual nature of coffee, unquote, in that we love it, but it's also addictive, like the siren. It's beautiful, but it attracts us.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. I'm not making any of this up.
To our death, yes. It attracts us to our death.
That's a lie. But anyway, Starbucks gives it this, and I'm not making this up. This comes from their website. Invokes the spirit of the sea, the spirit of going to sea, the adventure and going to sea on the sailing vessels of old. Which, of course, the sirens would lure to their death. And I said, just as we pulled up to the window, I said entirely too loudly, does no one at this company understand that Starbuck was the first mate of the Pequod in Moby Dick? Mm-hmm. And the guy at the counter said, well, yeah, we all know that. And I looked at him and said, do you understand what the Pequod was? Well, it was a sailing vessel. Yes.
It was a whaling vessel.
It was a whaling ship on an obsessive mission to kill something. None of which fits with your company ethics and morals. In fact, it's exactly the opposite of everything you say you stand for. Your name, Starbucks, is a complete and total lie.
You said that to this person.
I said that. And then I said it to my wife. And then she said, this drink is fine, we can go.
You ruined our Starbucks experience.
And I didn't get
a chai tea. Now they know who you are.
Well, they knew who I was anyway, because I'm there almost every day. Sometimes twice a day. And in one famous case, three times a day. My wife, it's not unusual for my wife, who, as you know quite well, tends to run late in the morning when she gets off work. And so I'll be sitting at the hospital waiting for her because we're a one-car family again. And she will text me down saying, I'm going to be 20, 30 minutes. Go get me a Starbucks. So I'll go down by myself and order a venti iced sugar-free vanilla latte with light ice.
But you don't taste test it, do you?
I do not, because the sugar-free vanilla, and I say this with love, tastes like shit. I don't understand how anybody can drink that stuff. I just don't. Plus, there's no coffee in it.
So
there are. There's two shots. Two shots of what? I'm the guy that on occasion will pull up there and order a quad shot of espresso. You know, it's like they stare at you like, really? Yeah.
That's a lot of espresso.
But I don't normally buy their coffee because this size coffee, which I made downstairs for free, well, not for free, because I did have to buy some coffee. It costs, you know, like $6, $5. It's crazy. But I want to come back to this. Their name does not reflect the company values that they keep throwing in my face. Peace, love, and LGBTQ stuff. Mm-hmm. Starbuck.
And let the homeless use our restaurants.
Right. Yes. Or not. That's why we put a coat on them. Starbuck was the lieutenant of a whaling ship that was designed and purposely going out to kill things. Which would have included the sirens, I would imagine, if they found them. Yes, if they actually existed, Ahab certainly would have killed them.
Because in Dungeons and Dragons, if you run across the sirens, you got to kill them. It's you or them.
You can't just stuff wax in your ears and see. That's the part I never got about the myth. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why the hell does an Odysseus put wax in his ears? He puts it in all his sailors' ears and then ties himself to the mast.
Because someone's got to still be able to hear, Dave.
Why? You can see where you're going, right? I mean, look, I realize I'm 4,000 years late for critiquing Greek mythology, but it never made any sense to me.
Maybe he just didn't get around to it, and it was too late.
So all that led to this conversation on Friday, sitting at the Starbucks line, about why the hell do they call it Starbucks? And if you call it Starbucks, why are you greeting me with Home of the Sirens? Mm-hmm. This is not a high school. You are not the Starbucks Sirens. Although that wouldn't be a bad name.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't project the image that you're really trying to project when you're trying to name your sports team. You know, it doesn't have that gravitas, that anger.
Team, right?
Well,
women's team.
Does that really give you the image that you want? Hi, we're going to lure you to your death with our song and our tits.
Depends on the sport, I guess.
Women's basketball, WNBA basketball, the Seattle Sirens.
It wouldn't work.
I mean,
basketball players aren't known for their top side.
People up here are still mad about the Sonics, which gives me mixed feelings because I'm from Oklahoma City originally, so I'm kind of like, well, I mean, I don't like basketball, so.
Mm, yeah.
So there you have it. That's my story of going to get coffee on Friday.
Okay.
So now you know why Starbucks is named Starbucks, because nobody in the company had any clue who Starbuck actually was. It just sounded good. Didn't match any of their company values, didn't support any of their company goals or ideals, as expressed from the very beginning. So they chose a bloodthirsty whaling lieutenant as their motto. So before you send me your emails about...
Didn't he die? I mean, didn't they
all
die?
They all died except for Ishmael.
Yeah.
Who survived in Queequeg's coffin, right?
Yeah.
So before you send me all the emails about how much you hate Starbucks and how you don't like it, keep in mind that every time you go, you're supporting the New England whaling industry by reminding people who Starbucks was. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And I have a question for you.
Okay.
Hopefully I have a serious question. We are bombarded by advertising all day long.
Yes.
Have you ever gone to your doctor and said to your doctor, hey, what about fill-in-the-blank drug? I saw it on TV.
I have not.
Why have you not done this? Isn't the point of the entirety of this advertising spending to say to you, ask your doctor about?
They do. But I have not asked the doctor about it. You usually don't have to.
I've never asked my doctor about it.
I've had doctors in the past. Oh, hey, we've got some sample drugs here. Let's go ahead. You'll give them to you for free.
Let's try these samples. Has anybody in the audience ever specifically seen a TV ad that said, ask your doctor about Fartomatic, and gone to your doctor and said, hey, what about Fartomatic? Spelled with a PH, of course. Anybody ever done that?
Nope.
Because why? Why don't we do that?
Because usually we rely upon our doctors to make those decisions as to what drugs we need to be on.
How can they possibly do that? The last time I had a physical, we talked about this. The last time I had a physical exam, it lasted a little over 6 minutes. Am I really supposed to believe that my doctor in 6 minutes, 6 minutes can figure out what the hell's wrong with me and what drugs I need? Let's run some tests.
That's what they do. They order tests and then they look at the results and they say, well, this is what we think it is.
Right. Which is how you end up with a situation, which is where I say, can we talk about these other problems I'm having? And we never get to them. One of which is, dude, my knee really freaking hurts. Is this normal? Oh, you just need physical therapy. And that goes on for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, 6 to be exact, until you finally grab the PA by the throat and say, look at my damn knee. And he does, and he goes, oh, there's a real problem here. Maybe we should have noticed that earlier. And I said, now, touch my shoulder, which has this big giant lump in it from when I fell because of my knee 6 years back in 2018. What is that, 6 years now? And nobody, I can't get a doctor one to look at it. He puts his hand on my shoulder and he says, oh, that's not right. And I said, I know. And then he said, and I'm not making this up, but that's a new problem. You'll have to make a new appointment.
Oh my gosh, you have the wrong medical people up there.
But at least it's progress. But I have never in my life said, hey, what about this drug?
That's bureaucracy.
Yes, it is. But it's because healthcare had to be fixed, right?
So what you do, Dave, is that when you're going to report a second problem, make the appointment. But still go to your original appointment for your original problem.
I know.
And say, I have an appointment for that already. Can you just talk about it now? I'm here.
Right. Yeah, but they're always so short on time.
Well, they want your copay.
And then they had to do this knee draw thing where they went in with a needle and draw the fluid off my knee.
Oh, you kind of griped about like that last week.
Oh, anyway. So I get bombarded with that. Mm-hmm. The one I truly, really remember is the Super Bowl last year because we were on our text chat, our group text chat, which we have and we use on a regular basis. And the new Jardians ad
daily.
Came on.
Yes. Daily.
Yes. The new Jardians ad came on with the chick singing and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some comments about that. And that ad has continued to run. And at no point have I said to my doctor, you know, I'm a type 2 diabetic. Can I have some Jardians? I saw it on TV and maybe it will make me sing and dance like this chick.
Yeah.
Maybe
if you can't get that, maybe you can just get the model that did it or the actress that did it.
No. Which is part of our discussion. So at any rate, since nobody's doing this, what's the point of these ads? In 2022, which is the last year of full numbers, Rinvoq, $315.8 million in TV ad buys.
Are they required? I wonder if they're required to advertise.
Dupixent, $305 million. I don't even know what Dupixent does.
Yeah, but I recognize the name.
I recognize the name because I've heard the ad. Sky Rizzy.
Yep.
174. That's somebody with skin.
At nighttime.
Right.
In between the accident attorney.
So we're down to number four and five before I even know what they are. Ozempic, $157 million. I'm on Ozempic. But I never said to my doctor, hey, I saw this great commercial for Ozempic. Can you help me? Jardiance, which is, of course, the one we were talking about, $145 million. Rybelsus, $123 million. Trulicity, $122 million. This is millions, folks, spending in U.S. dollars for advertising on your TV. Tremfya, 115.1. Verzenio, 111. None of these, by the way, are COVID-19 drugs, which amuses me because they're getting their ads for free.
Well, they basically had the government pay for everything, right? So they don't need to advertise.
Yeah. But they are. They got Travis Kelce, Mrs. Taylor Swift out there, Mr. Taylor Swift out there, who you'll be happy to know, the Japanese government has informed us that she will have plenty of time to make it from her concert to the Super Bowl. The Japanese government put out an actual statement explaining to the entire world that you don't need to worry about it. She'll have plenty of time.
At what carbon cost, though, Dave?
Well, again, if you're going to name your company Starbucks.
True.
I mean.
You're not caring about the environment.
There's an old saying in the civil service, get rid of the difficult bit in the title. Okay. So you call it whatever you want to call it, but go ahead and do whatever you want to do. So you can have the company that stands for global war, fighting global warming and peace, love, and harmony, and you name it Starbucks, which, is killing whales. But at any rate, in 2023, AbbVie reaffirmed an ongoing trend by spending, $351 million. Skyrizi, $383 million. They took the lead. So this is a ton of money. Now, again, I have mixed feelings about this, Rod, because I work in an industry that is based on advertising. That's when you listen to the radio, when you turn on the radio, what they are selling you is whatever they're advertising. That's what it's all about. The entire purpose of that guy talking to you or that music you're hearing is to get you to listen to the next ad. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I hate to burst your bubble. That's what they have to sell. It's what they do.
Yeah.
We don't have that problem quite as much in podcasting, although a lot of people do it. We don't because, frankly, nobody wants to advertise on this show. But at the same time, I'm not all that excited about selling advertising on my podcast. I'm just not.
A lot of work.
Pain in the ass. There's tax issues. There's all kinds of problems with it. Anyway, if you want to send me money, you can donate money.
Now, if there's a drug company that wants to advertise on our podcast, hey.
For $100 million, I'm okay with that.
We won't turn that down.
Well, not after some negotiation, we won't. but at any rate, so all this gets me to wondering, why are these ads on TV? Because nobody is in talk radio. This is one of the things that talk radio is famous for, is that listeners hear the ads and they go do things. So when you hear a talk radio host talk about a local business, people go and visit that business.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh used to be very good about this, about products that he would advertise and people would go buy them. Hell, I did it. There was a salsa that he advertised once that I went and bought. It was really good. I'm like, well, that's great. Talk radio listeners especially are known for that. Other radio listeners, music radio listeners, they do, but not quite to the degree that talk radio does.
Yeah.
Television, you would have to think, probably even less than music radio, pop music radio. Because most people, when they're watching television, I don't think people today watch television the same way they did, say, back in the 1950s, 60s, 70s.
Only live TV we watch nowadays is the news, the local news, before we go to bed.
Well, I don't even watch that live because I have an app where I can replay it now.
Well, there you go.
So I don't have to get up at 5 in the morning to watch the news. But back in the day, you actually had to watch television because A, it wasn't repetitive. So if you didn't see it, you didn't see it.
Yeah, you didn't see it, yeah.
And advertising was a little bit more smoking oriented in those days, you know. But the bottom line was that you paid attention to it. You didn't, because it wasn't an all day thing. Nowadays, it doesn't work like that. In most cases, television is just background noise, which is what radio used to be.
The commercials are the bathroom breaks.
Well, they used to be, but now they're not. You used to be, oh, the commercial's coming on. Everybody goes to the bathroom, goes to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Hurry, come back. It's coming back on. Hurry. But not anymore, because now you just hit pause.
Yeah.
So, or watching video.
Unless you're streaming with like Hulu or something, you can hit pause, but it's still, you can't get past the commercial.
Well, you can't get past the commercial, but you can pause it so that you don't miss the whole thing.
But the commercials on streaming, it's usually the same three commercials over and over.
Right, I grant you that. But you don't have to miss anything to see them or not see it, is my point. So you get this situation now where television has become, I can tell you in here, for me, it's just background noise. It's nothing that I'm paying attention to. That's why my big monitor is right in front of me. My secondary monitor is right there, and my television is all the way over there. Because it's just background. And so when these ads come on, I'm not really paying any attention to them anyway. So why is this company, Rinvoq, AbbVie, paying $387 million a year to advertise on television? You don't hear these ads on radio?
No, I do hear. I do hear some.
Some, but not $387 million worth.
No.
Why are they doing this?
So I'm thinking it's some kind of requirement.
It's not a requirement. There is no requirement whatsoever to advertise drugs on television. In fact, it's difficult to run ads for drugs on television, because then you have to run that little disclaimer at the end. You have to run two disclaimers. This drug
is a write-off?
These drugs cause these problems and known problems. Yeah. And these statements have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which, if you hear that about anything, you kind of go, well, it's just snake oil. All right. So back to your question. Is it a write-off? No. I mean, it is, but it isn't. What reason could there be for buying ads on television to the point of 370? And on what TV programs do you see most of these ads?
I see a lot of them at night during the news.
During the news. During the news.
I'm only a half a cup of coffee into the day, Dave. I'm not, for serious thinking, I'm not there yet.
So what if, and I'm just spitballing here.
Okay.
Just asking questions. News departments across the spectrum, television, radio, watch this happen myself, newspapers are being gutted because they're expensive.
Yeah.
Having people to go out and report news it costs money. I mean, you got to pay them salary, you got to pay them benefits. This is the whole thing in the Los Angeles Times, you know, laying off people, Sports Illustrated laying off people. Of course, different reasons.
Sports Illustrated was something else.
Right. But the bottom line is we keep hearing these tragic stories about news departments everywhere being laid off in television news.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, especially television news, has been absolutely gutted by these problems that they're having. What are the problems that they're having? Nobody cares about the news anymore.
No, because
nobody's watching it.
Most of it's opinion.
Most of it is opinion. They're very lowly rated shows. And in a business that's competitive, that's about competition and getting eyeballs on stuff, why then is the news still on your paid TV stations, your CBSs, your ABCs, your NBCs? Why do they still have news if it's not making any money?
That's an interesting sound.
Why are they still on the air if they're not making any money?
That's a good question.
Come on, man. Make the connection.
I'm not making the connection.
$387 million in drug advertising that you see on the news.
Well, that's the only reason. So that's the, but then again, how is the drug company assessing that their $380 million they're spending is worth it on the news?
Well, now there's a good question, isn't it? Because that's what your normal advertiser would say. Hey, I spent, I spent, you know,
what's
X amount of dollars. What's the ROI?
Yeah.
And in radio, okay, you get so much ratings, you get so many customers coming in, you got Dave or Bill or Rod on the air saying how great this place is and people are going in. You can measure that.
Yeah.
But in the news business, since none of us are going into our doctors and saying, hey, I need Rinvoq, because I saw it on the commercial on the news last night.
Maybe they think the doctors are watching.
Well, the doctors aren't watching because they're busy. So what's the ROI? How many news stories do you see nowadays about drug companies and their questionable activities? Hmm. In round numbers, how many do you see?
You don't see a whole lot of those.
Could that be because the drug companies are the number one advertisers on news programs and they don't want to piss them off?
They're trying to influence the news.
Huh, yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
Now, all of this has been rattling around in the back of my brain for months, if not years. And Tucker Carlson goes off this week and basically discovers this himself. So now he's internet famous again for discovering that this has been going on for years. Mm-hmm. That this is a quote-unquote open secret. That the drug companies, Big Pharma, have essentially bought off the news.
And so you're not going to bite the hand, so.
So you're not going to bite the hand. Listen, I've seen that happen myself in radio. I've seen that where, hey, don't do that. This guy's buying a lot of ads. You know, I realize you have your opinions, but you're not getting paid because of your opinions. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that happen. How many news stories do you see about any potential? Have you seen any news stories at all on your local news about the problems with the COVID vaccine?
No, you don't see anything about that. It's the independent news sources that talk about it on the internet.
What do you see on the news about Ozempic? It's great.
Positive. It's usually positive stuff.
It'll make you lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shortage of it because so many people have discovered this miracle drug that helps you lose weight. They ever tell you how? Because I can tell you how. Oh, God, no. You're not. It's not eating. Do you know what the number one side effect of Ozempic is?
No.
Diarrhea.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll lose a little bit of weight. A little bit of weight. Because you're going to have problems. You're going to have side effects. You ever see that on the news?
No.
Wonder why that is. And it's just, it goes back to, Rod, what's influencing what we're seeing?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're never going to get a drug advertisement now because, you know, who's going to do that now? These guys are talking about bad stuff.
We question about it, yeah.
But as you watch your local news now, start taking notes of those kinds of things. As you watch the national news, if you even watch it, I don't, again, nobody's really watching these programs. They're very lowly rated.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason they're still around is because they're well funded by all this advertising money from companies that don't really care that much about they're not looking for an ROI. They know that you're not going to go into your doctor and say, hey, saw this drug on television. Oh, there's some blue hair old lady in Pittsburgh that did, but beyond that,
well, I'm sure there's some guys that requested Viagra based off of what they saw.
Do you ever see Viagra on the news though? You see
a long time ago, that and Cialis, but
when they first came out, right?
When they first came out,
but now because they're generic, there's no money to be made on them. So
no, and so every other company and their brother, sisters, and uncle is posting those.
You can get the same ingredients,
Facebook.
Right? You can get the same ingredients for the same amount of time and half the.
We'll even give you the doctor that gives you the prescription.
Right. but it's not on the news. Those are on your cable channels that people are actually watching. See, because they do need an ROI. Anyway, it just makes you look at the news differently, doesn't it? It makes you look at, hell, it makes you look at the NFL differently, because sports is another place where this big pharma advertises quite a bit. And it just makes you kind of sit back and go, wait a minute, what about this? What about that? So when you watch the Tucker Carlson video this week, and I'm sure you will, he will act surprised, if you haven't seen it yet, he acts surprised by discovering all this. He's like, oh, I didn't know all this.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, either Tucker Carlson is the biggest freaking idiot on the face of the planet, or he's lying. One of the two. Because everybody's known. Anybody in this biz has known that for you. For God's sakes, Tucker, you worked at a news station.
Yeah.
You knew this. But he's acting like he's surprised, which is pretty entertaining. And at the same time, he makes a lot more money than I do, so.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you got to let it go with that, don't you? Anyway, get yourself some Ozempic. Go ask your doctor.
Go ask your doctor. Welcome back to What the Frock, and this is the time where we enter the news articles of the week. And Dave, I have to say, I was shocked by this one particular article that came across my...
Shocked?
My security news feed, actually. So, as you know, I'm in the techno field, the technologically field. Technological field? Yeah, I've been making up words all week long. A German railway firm posted for a vacancy. Now, that in and of itself isn't a big deal, but they were looking for a system administrator just before the weekend. The skills that they were looking for, Dave, it's very rare and very unique, because they were looking for a Windows 3.11 administrator with also MS-DOS experience.
Hey!
Yeah, I cut my teeth on Windows 3.11 and MS-DOS, and that was like 30 years. It's a 30-year-old operating system. The recruiter would look upon a candidate more fondly possessing MS-DOS experience. The admin would reportedly oversee systems with 166 megahertz processors and a whopping 8 megabits of RAM. It might seem slightly worrying that modern railways are still running on such ancient systems, but mission-critical systems often adhere to the, quote, if it ain't broke, don't fix it philosophy. So anyway, my WTF for this week is, if you're a railway system and you're running these totally insecure old operating systems, put some money in your budget to upgrade.
So do you remember, was it August of 95? When Windows 95 came out?
Yes, I do. Because I was my first real job was in 1990. I got hired at a local grocery store to work in the stores. And in 6 months, I started the help desk. So I was doing support and system maintenance. And when 95 came out, we started doing installs and deploying.
So 95 comes out, and of course there's a, It's everywhere. I mean, there's commercials for it. Can't swing a dead cat on a 3-foot string without hitting some ad or something for promoting Windows 9. Can't go into a computer store without your pre-order your Windows 95 nonsense, right? Remember all that?
Yeah.
August of 1995 was when I first installed on my PC Windows 3.1. And the only reason I did it, the only reason I went to Windows, not kidding about this, was I was in nonprofit work at that point, accounting, and I had seen the tab system for Excel 4.0 or 2.0, whatever, 4.0. And I thought, I need that.
Excel, or was it Lotus 1-2-3?
It was not Lotus 1-2. I had Lotus 1-2. I had the option, Lotus 1-2-3 or Excel.
Okay.
And I'm an MS-DOS guy. I mean, high mem, system rep. I mean, I knew how to program DOS. I could make it do whatever I wanted it to do.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, Windows 3.1 will let me run Excel 4.0.
Okay.
With the tabs. And that is the only reason I went to Windows in August of 1995.
Okay.
Not that you care, so maybe I should move to Germany, is what you're saying.
There's a job waiting for you in Germany, Dave.
I still have all my DOS notebooks.
They have Starbucks there, so Cammy's covered.
I still have my guide to my 6-inch book guide to MS DOS.
I used to have a 5.1 installation set of disks of not the CD disks, right. the actual disk.
Yeah. That's how old we are, folks.
Yep.
In my day, we didn't have these fancy.
I learned programming BASIC.
That's exactly right.
It's come to this, though, and you should know this. With Earth at its hottest point in recorded history, which is a key phrase, hottest point in recorded history, let's all agree that that's not all of history, okay?
Yeah.
There was a time when Earth was
much hotter.
Right. At the time when Earth has reached its hottest in recorded history, and human beings doing virtually nothing to stop its overheating.
Dun, dun,
a
dun.
Small but growing number of astronomers and physicists are proposing a potential fix that sounds like it could have leapt from the pages of science fiction.
He said with enthusiasm.
I did, because this is the dumbest thing I've ever read. The idea is to create a huge sunshade and send it to a point far away between the Earth and the Sun to block a small but crucial amount of solar radiation, which would be, quote, enough to counter global warming. Scientists, who you can trust, have calculated that if just 2% of the Sun's radiation is blocked, that would cool the planet by 1.5 degrees Celsius or 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit and supposedly keep Earth within manageable climate boundaries. Now you may be saying to yourself, Dave, that's so stupid.
I'm saying to myself, so they want to create this gigantic solar sail and expect it to stay in
place.
Not
a sail, a beach umbrella.
No. It's a solar sail if it's out in space. It's going to be pushed away.
Well, they're calling it, you're right, but it's a beach umbrella. And if you can't trust scientists to come up with this, who can you trust? Your fourth grade science fair project? Anyway. This isn't even
straws
the dumb
bad,
part
Dave.
Of all
straws
this.
Are bad.
Yeah. This isn't even the dumb part of all this, right?
Okay, I'll let you go. I'll stop interrupting.
The insane part of this is giant beach umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you hear the term giant, give me a... You only have to block 2% of the sun's radiation. Suppose. Okay. Yeah. I'm not saying I believe any of this crap. I'm just saying this is what we're told. So... how big is giant?
It's going to have to be huge. You're talking scales. I mean, the scale of that to block enough to block 2% of the sun's rays hitting Earth.
Right. So just for the record,
we're talking kilometers.
This is the part. This is the part that amuses me. This giant space umbrella will have to be the size of Argentina, which is the kind of thing that makes me say,
WTF?
Welcome back. I'm Dave.
I am rotted. My coffee is empty, Dave.
I haven't even started.
That means the show must be close to being over because I need to go make another.
It cup. Must be. Do you want to take a break? Yeah.
No, it's okay. We can pull through.
Well, I don't know if we can or not because things. You may hear different sounds in my background. I've had to rearrange my office. So my microphone is in a different place, and that's why you hear the rumble, I think, and I got to figure out how to sound isolate.
I haven't heard a rumble.
Okay. I hear it. So I was talking to somebody yesterday who was talking about how they hate the sound of their voice on recordings.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to explain to them why there's a physical reason why your voice sounds different in recordings than it does in your head, and that's because your bone structure amplifies
resonates.
The bass. It
yeah.
resonates the bass. And if you just add some bass to the tape, you'll sound normal. Or anyway, point being that I've had to rearrange my office because I bought a giant curved monitor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about giant curved monitor, but it's a medium-sized curved monitor, which I had to put in the middle, and it's still not exactly in the middle. The yeah. middle is actually over here.
The curvature kind of makes it weird as far as trying to place it with your other monitors.
Right. It does take some getting used to. And, of course, then I had to move my other giant monitor over here. And I need giant monitors because I'm basically blind, which meant that I had to move my microphone from up there to down here, which is why it sounds different. And you may be saying to yourself, well, Dave, why did you buy a giant curved monitor?
So, Dave, why did you buy a giant curved
to
monitor?
To block 2% of the sun's radiation. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
That would have to be the size of Argentina. So I bought the giant monitor because my official reason is I needed it for school. I needed it to be able to have supposedly
multiple documents up
right.
and things.
Supposedly I can split this thing somehow or another to make it essentially be two monitors. I haven't figured out how to do that yet, but for the time being, I can have multiple documents open following things. That's the official reason.
Well, do you have Windows 11, Dave?
I do.
You should be able to drag the window up to the top middle and give you some options
yeah.
to split.
Oh, yeah. 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 I just haven't mastered it yet.
Oh, okay.
I know it's there. Good. It's just one of those things that, well, I know it's there.
You'll get there.
But that's not really why I bought it.
Okay.
So yesterday I have a midterm exam on world history.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself when I got up Saturday morning, when I went to bed Friday night, take this first thing Saturday morning, 130 questions, all multiple choice. Going to get this knocked out, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum. So I get up in the morning, and I did not take the test.
Oh, no. What happened?
What happened was my wife went to a hockey game, so I was here with Ben. So Ben was here, and I thought to myself, he's going to wake up at any moment. And if he wakes up in the middle of the test, then the test is timed. And I guess I could just say to him, hey, you're going to have to wait. I'm working on the test.
Mm-hmm.
But my head said, hey, why don't you just wait till he wakes up? That way, you can use this giant freaking video monitor that's fantastic and really cool looking and go play No Man's Sky until Ben wakes up.
Oh, jeez. Well, there's a good hour and a half lost.
Hour and a half. I didn't take the test till 8 o'clock last night. But you'll be happy to know I got a 92 on, but
good.
In the meantime, I wasted my entire day just about playing this game that Rod gave me called No Man's Sky.
It's a great game. It's really fun.
It's Minecraft for adults as well.
It is, but there's an exploration aspect to it that
Minecraft lacks. Right.
Yeah.
You can get off the planet. You can go talk to people and
discover other planets and things going on there. And
Wildbagger the Eternal can show up and yell at you.
I didn't yell at you. I waved at you several times.
That's true. And then I couldn't figure out how to wave back. And that's the most frustrating part of this is I've never seen a game that has so little actual support. You know, most games you buy, they have
instructions to play.
Right. Most games have a tutorial. Okay, do this, and it gets you through. This game has none of that. You're just it has some quests in the middle of nowhere.
It has some quests, but then it doesn't really explain how the UI or the mechanics work, so you're kind of stuck. You have to figure it out.
So it took me a while to get going on this thing. It's taken me, what, the better part of a year, I guess, since you sent it over to me.
Once you get started, once you start understanding the mechanics of how it works, then it starts to really become fun.
Right. Then you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and go, I need to take this test, and you go, meh. There's reasons not to. And the next thing you know, you're zooming through space and trying to find gold and mine stuff because it is Minecraft, I'm telling you. It's
just, you have to mine a bunch of materials to craft things.
To fix things, and then you're getting frustrated with stuff. And then you figure out at one point that you're just wandering around.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to speed it up. It just goes at the pace it goes. And anyway, you'd be happy to know that I did get the test done.
Okay.
I have a test tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
This one's on U.S. history, so I'm a little more... See, this world history test, the whole module was 4 weeks of Hindu... I'm not kidding. Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, and Confucianism. Which the only one that was any value to me at all was Confucianism, because now I finally understand what Xi is doing over in China. But putting all that aside, I don't... Identify these Hindu gods. You ever looked at a picture of Hindu gods?
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, are you kidding me? It's either Ganesh, Vishnu, or Shiva, or possibly Brahma. Or maybe Kali. I don't know. When I did the worksheet and turned it in,
Kali
I was like,
Ma will rule the world.
I have no idea.
Indiana Jones. Yes.
She says, when I did the worksheet, I turned it in, she says, I turned it in with a note, I have no clue. This one kicked my butt. Mm-hmm. I'm lost. And she sent a note back saying, well, but you got them all right. And I said, no, I'm a really good guesser. Because it isn't even something you can Google and go, because if you Google, say you want to, Ganesh is the only one I can get. Ganesh and Kali. And Brahma. Brahma has four faces. That's easy. Ganesh is an elephant, and Kali is black. So it's like, but the rest of them, you're like, I don't know. One of them's got a cobra on his neck, but he also has a lotus flower, and the other one has a lotus flower and doesn't have a cobra on his neck, but does have a cobra, but does have this. And it's like, oh my God, can't keep up with all this stuff. And what the hell does this have to do with history? The question that I kept shouting in my head. I learned some history. I learned why there is a Pakistan.
Okay.
But beyond that, there was nothing in here about Mahatma Gandhi of course, that doesn't go in 1500. But anyway, it was frustrating. But I did get a 90.
Well, maybe she's leading into something about, you know, how these religions influenced the areas in the past.
I don't know. But it's not a religious course. It's a history course. So. Mm. But now we're into Persia, Greek, and Rome, so... I'm feeling on much firmer ground this week than I have been up to this point. I've just been kind of going
up to Xerxes. Yay.
Yeah. Darius, Xerxes, those guys. It'll be good. I'll be okay with this. This one I feel confident enough that I could probably just take the quizzes and not even read the lectures.
The question is, you know, will the sirens be on the quiz at some point?
No, because they might be. And if they are, I'll link this show, because I keep linking my shows about stuff in my history class, my U.S. history class, which right now we're in the first half of the 19th century, 1800, 1865. So I keep in the show notes that we have to do these take home points.
Okay.
Which are come up with 350 word questions about, you know, what's going on here. I'm turning in these 1,000-page essays on this stuff, and half of them are links to my show. Well, this is what I think about. One of them was about the Constitution. And I said, if you want to know what I think about the Constitution, here's Constitution Thursday. So I'm like, well, and we had to turn in a paper.
Do you get responses from the professor on that?
I do. You want to hear some of them?
Sure.
Let's see. Take-home points number one. Excellent work, Dave. You provide several insightful references in this written assignment. Blah, blah,
okay.
Blah. So the big one was we had to do a paper on Martha Ballard. You have no idea who Martha Ballard is.
No.
Martha Ballard was a midwife who lived 1770s to the 18-teens, somewhere in there, and provides a live view, as it were, of life in New England, Maine in particular, which was Massachusetts back then, as a midwife. And so there's a lot of medical stuff that you don't get anywhere else, blah, blah, blah. And the premise of the book that we're studying is that these women went unnoticed, and I'm telling their story because they're unnoticed.
Okay.
And so my thesis was they weren't unnoticed. For God's sakes, you got a book right here.
Uh-huh.
And as the rabbis talk about, you know, if you save one life, you save 1,000. How many generations of people said, you know, this woman birthed my mother? And so that was my thesis, and I based it on labor and delivery nurses.
Okay,
today,
well, which you have
right today
a plethora of knowledge.
So I
sitting
drew
next
these comparisons
to you in the Starbucks drive
thru, exactly, telling me that sirens are the Starboo. Anyway, so I wrote this whole paper doing this, and it's supposed to be 4 pages, and of course I'm at 7, and I've got footnotes to everything that that I'm talking about and why this is. I even included the footnote about how they argue with doctors and how much they struggle with things like putting IVs in. And my wife's whole story about the IVs things and me putting my fingers in my ear and go, la, 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 don't tell me that. And then it happens to me. And all that's in this paper. But I had to turn it in early because I had doctor's appointments because of my knees.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot turn in work late. It's kind of a strange thing for me. It's fine, but you can't turn in work late. In fact, some professors won't even accept late work.
Yeah.
Which is fine. So I put an explanatory note on there. Look, this isn't as polished as I would like it to be because I've got to turn it in now. Blah, 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 blah. Turn it in. And I spent a week panicking over this because I'm thinking to myself, you know.
I failed.
He's not going to like this. And so then I get it back and he says this. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is a wonderfully creative, deeply thoughtful essay, and I appreciate your thinking outside the box. To be nitpicky, he says, I would explain all the quotes and employ more robust transitions, but that's a small ask in such a capacious essay.
Capacious.
Which I had to explain to my wife, because she doesn't... And what's funny to me about all that is, go back to radio, John Considine, John Chimpo, used to bitch incessantly about my transitions. He hated them. So you'll be happy to know... But all of my radio experience is being poured into my...
So are your transitions like, you know, popping the clutch?
That's what I refer to it as, paradigm shift without a clutch.
Yeah.
And I've said this before here. One of my worst habits is I just change directions in the middle of sentences.
Yeah.
And I still do that. But there you go. So that was my week. Hopefully your week was better.
Yeah, it was okay. It was a work week. It was filled with compliance documentation. Yeehaw. Nobody goes to school to say, you know what I want to do with my life? I want to, like, work on policies and procedures.
I don't know. We did a lot of that in the Navy. So.
Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, that's just a side... That's a side effect of being in the Navy, right?
That's true. Oh, well. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, you can drop us a line at WTF@whatthefrock.org. You can comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthefrock.
Please do.
Please do. We can use the help. Maybe it'll attract the attention of the drug companies and they won't advertise on us. But at least they'll know we exist. Hell, maybe even Tucker Carlson will notice that we were way ahead of the game on him. But
yeah, seriously.
Who knows what will happen. And on that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
And I am Friar Rod.
And this has been...
What the Frock?